Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Here's Nylander in the Oilers' zone. Sharp angle shot. He scores! Here's Seabrook, right circle, fires. He scores! Oh, he's leveled by Andrew Shaw with a thunderous check. Here's a loose puck in front. They score! It's Saad. Shoots. He scores! The Cat connects with a one-timer.
It's time for another episode of Blackhawks Crazy, presented by FanList.
Keith will move it ahead to Shaw, to Doc over the Sabre line, down the left wing, and he scores! Kirby Doc! Here's Doc with the back, and he scores! Kirby Doc! The first two-goal night of Kirby Doc's career.
Chris Bowden and Joe Brand break down the latest storylines surrounding your favorite Chicago hockey team.
Each game I'm getting better and pushing myself to strive to be better.
That's hockey, baby!
Here's Chris Bowden and Joe Brand.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a fresh edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, presented by FanList. I'm Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on 720 WGN Radio, as always joined by our intrepid reporter inside the Blackhawks locker room, Joe Brand, who did not have a very pleasant locker room to work as we record here Wednesday night after the 6-3 loss to the New York Rangers and the Hawks return home following an underwhelming 1-4 road trip. But before we start diving into that a little bit deeper, Joe, I'm gonna mix this up as this is okay. Just to mix things up, try and change the luck around. So is it okay if I do the read?
Yeah, I'll let you slide this time.
All right. We were fighting over it. The piece of paper did stay together, but this is most important because Blackhawks Crazy Podcast is sponsored by FanList. FanList is the best platform for season ticket holders to sell their tickets. Are you a Blackhawks season ticket holder who sells multiple games? Get over to FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy, spelled FANLYST. FanList partners with multiple ticket marketplaces and lists tickets for sale across all marketplaces all at once. Sites like StubHub, Vivid Seats, SeatGeek, GameTime, and many more. And they do all the work. Multiple marketplaces will increase your ticket exposure, causing tickets to sell faster and for higher prices. Plus, FanList is free to use. Registration and listing tickets are free. When tickets sell, FanList charges the industry standard, 15% of the final sale price. It's the same rate that all those major marketplaces charge. There are no hidden costs or added fees to use FanList. It's the best way for you as a season ticket holder to sell your tickets. Go to FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy to receive a $20 bonus on your first sale. FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy. As always, our appreciation to FanList for being our presenting sponsor. That wasn't a half bad job. That's better than I usually do, Joe. Not quite up to your standard. But I think the thing, as it relates to FanList here, is the way the Hawks are trending now, as we speak here, 1-5-2 over their last 8, 2-6-2 over their last 10, and sinking further despite what is clearly needed at this time of year in these wild card standings in order to break or prevent a 2-year playoff drought from extending to 3. The people who use FanList and others as season ticket holders are, if they're looking to get those tickets off their hands, it's becoming more and more difficult here, unfortunately, because of the way this team is trending. And again, another urgent situation here on Wednesday night after a real disappointing road trip, and the Hawks, after playing a real solid second period, getting this game at 1-1, absolutely fall apart in the third period.
Today was just a game where it's very difficult to pull out any positives. Even on that recent road trip of only winning one game, at least you saw some hard-fought battles. You saw a game against Vancouver where they may have played their most, or rather their strongest effort in a 60-minute game all year long, but today was just more of what was wrong with the Hawks earlier this year, the lack of consistency, the lack of energy, and that's Jonathan Toews' phrasing after the game. So when all of this happens in must-win hockey games, it's going to be a lot more of a demise feeling in the locker room, and that's exactly what you got today. Because they're running out of answers. They really are. And you're not going to take away this game for just blaming the goaltender, but Robin Leonard didn't have that great of a game, and I think he was just out of things to say today, too. I mean, usually he's not Mr. Positivity, but he's the guy that at least tries to take the positive spin and still, or rather, find the silver lining and find a way to hopefully motivate this team. But they're running out of chances if they haven't completely run out of them already.
Yeah, and he was short, blunt. We're not going to share Robin's comments with you because it's been different. He did take responsibility, but he still called out other breakdowns that happened in this game. And breaking down is just simply what the Blackhawks are doing right now. 26-26-8. They remain stuck at 60 points. They're 12-13-4 at home. And this is a Rangers team kind of doing the same thing that the Blackhawks are trying to do with rebuild on the fly. You have your studs there. You have some guys you have brought in, but it's basically, you know, a real young team developing under their head coach, David Quinn. And right now they're putting it all together. They may not make the playoffs, but this is a team kind of in a similar situation. And they came in winners of 5 straight on the road. They'd won 7 of their previous 10, and they just decided to flip the switch there in the third period. And we'll hear from Jonathan Toews here in a couple of moments. We're also we'll first hear from Jeremy Colleton. And before we play that for you, it was very evident upon returning from this road trip. Obviously, I'm not around the team when they're on the road. But after that 1-4 trip, just seeing the same problems rear their head over and over and over again on this trip. When he spoke on Tuesday after practice and then again here Wednesday morning, you can tell he's starting to get real impatient, and you'll be about to hear him after this 6-3 loss to the Rangers here on Wednesday night, almost fire him a couple shots across the bow, which is a risky thing to do with this team as, you know, hanging in the balance as it is, and you know, a room trying to figure itself out, but. You'll hear him talk about how the coaches need to be better, but he very pointedly says the players need to be better. And once again, this was a situation where the door was right open, you know, still wide open. You have an opportunity with 2 home games here to try and get back on track. You're playing another one of these teams in front of you coming up on Friday night, but in the end, you're not able to gain any ground. And the frustration is becoming more and more palpable the more this team is unable to, you know, grasp what they need to do and take it around its neck and run with it, because they have now shown an inability to do that ever since the bye week, which may have been the worst thing for them.
It's very controversial when one of the things that Jeremy Colleton says is the team was not prepared enough, and that starts with the coaching. The coaching wasn't prepared enough. I mean, that's a big thing to say. You're taking a lot of responsibility by saying that, but I don't know, to the counter argument of that is these are professional hockey players. They should be prepared on their own. And the other thing is, which I'll always fall back on this year, is this team has shown signs, has shown glimpses of putting it all together and playing as a team and playing with strong effort and playing more aggressive and having that shoot-first mentality. But for some reason, they can never put it all together. So you're right. Jeremy Colleton, by saying this, is somewhat calling out some of these players. But, I mean, yeah, the blame's got to go all around, especially in today's game. Nobody had a perfect game. Hardly anyone had a great game. I mean, Dominik Kubalik did. But this is not the time to be having these problems. And here we are once again. We're in the middle of February, and we're talking about the same problems this team had in November.
Yeah, and we're heading down that road here for a third consecutive spring without any playoff hockey. Blackhawks last won a playoff series when they clinched the cup in 2015 here against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So we've been talking about, let's, without further ado, let you hear what the head coach had to say, as blunt as we have ever heard him and probably as frustrated as we have ever heard him after the 6-3 loss to the New York Rangers.
So not good enough, obviously, from our end. You know, didn't love our first period. Thought we had a decent second period, responded with some energy and compete, and got ourselves back in the game. And then third period, just nowhere near good enough, especially away from the puck. You know, we didn't have enough guys going, ultimately. So we're a team that we need everyone going to compete. I think when we have everyone going, we have a good chance to win every night, and that's just not what we had tonight. So, very disappointing.
Given the stakes and the situation, how do you explain not having the energy, the push that you need?
makes you angry. Because it's a game that we, you know, you look before, like, we need this game. And we didn't do the things right from the start to put ourselves in the best position to win. We just didn't have enough guys ready to play.
Were there just defensive breakdowns in that third period, or did you just have Leonard's number, kind of?
Well, I would say there's repeated defensive breakdowns, just them getting on the wrong side of us basically the whole period. And whether that was off the rush or whether that was in D zone, and we had a couple turnovers as well, it's just not a recipe to keep the puck out of your net.
Was there something strategically that they were doing to exploit it, or was it just a lack of execution?
They got some skilled players who got inside us and made plays, and we weren't able to close guys out in D zone, and they get on the wrong side of us, and then it's hard to defend. And there's a couple times where we were late to recognize transition, and so they had numbers back. I thought there's a couple times where our gap was nowhere near good enough. That wasn't the third period. I thought it was the whole game. Our gap was nowhere near what it needs to be. So we just didn't do enough good things.
You, Stan, the players, we've been hearing a lot about there's a lot of hockey left, running out of hockey here. Are you still, I mean, what do you feel this team's future is right
it's
now?
It's not, to me, that, like, we have to think really short term right now, and that's tomorrow. How are we going to prepare better? Because we didn't prepare well enough. So that's, you know, the coach has got to do a better job of preparing the team. The team needs to do a better job of preparing each other. And then individually, they got to do a better job of preparing themselves to play. We didn't do a good enough job.
Do you feel like Boquist has hit somewhat of a rookie wall?
It was a tough night tonight. You know, but again, I said it when we took him out, I said him when we went back in, he's a kid, and so it's not going to be perfect all the time, and it's our job to help him through it. So that's what we got to do.
What do you think the players can do specifically to prepare themselves better so that these efforts are better going forward?
Well, it starts tomorrow with how we practice, making sure that whatever we do, let's do it with intention and like it's a game. And when you prepare in that way, then when it becomes game time and the intensity goes up to 100, it's not that big a shock. You got those habits in you. And then I think before the game, you're going through your mind exactly how you need to play to have success individually, what we need to do as a team, again, so that when the intensity gets ramped up, you're just ready to do it. And we need to do a better job.
Coach, is that equal parts mental and physical?
I would say it's, especially at this time of year, it's about 90% mental. Physically, you kind of are what you are, and you got to prepare yourself mentally to do what you need to do, and the body will kick in.
So it's almost like they don't understand that the level across the league is, you know, at this time of year does ramp up, and they're just not reading it?
I don't know if it's a question of understanding. We just got to do it. So I thought we played pretty hard on the road trip. Wasn't perfect, but the last three games in particular, I thought we played pretty hard. But you got to do it over and over and over and over again. And when you face adversity, you got to stick with it. And that's when you break through. And if you don't, you get swept away.
An impatient Jeremy Colleton, probably, as we have really haven't heard from him in his 15 months here since taking over, succeeding Joel Quenneville. And he's almost sounding as frustrated as a lot of the fans who, well, on social media, it's a little bit more vocal with some of the fans' frustration. But again, the same things jumping up and biting them. The power play. They tried some different things here, a different personnel, different setup with each unit. 1-3-1 on the first unit, which basically didn't look as good as the second unit, which was kind of a box in one setup. And trying to get this thing going. 0-14 on the road trip. Now, what was it? 0-3 tonight. So 7-74 in the last 24 games. It has hit rock bottom in the league, under 14% now. And then the penalty kill, which you hope isn't leaking oil, but now has given up 6 power play goals in the last 5-plus games. I thought had 2 real good kills the first 2 instances, and then after it's 2-1, Olli Maatta takes a penalty, and that's when the Rangers are able to score on the power play again. They're ranked 6th in the league on the power play, 35% since the Christmas break. So you left that door open for them, and, man, they took advantage of it. And the other point that Jeremy made here, sloppy game defensively. And once again, growing pains. 19-year-old, we know Adam Boqvist is going to be really good. And but as he plays now, this was, what was it, his 33rd NHL game. Had to sit him a couple nights ago for the Winnipeg game, go over some tape, went through some review. Colleton says Wednesday morning he thinks it's going to be good for Adam. And right off the bat on that opening goal by Philip Hedel, and then again a couple of times in the third period, the defense either getting around him or getting behind him. So these are some of the growing pains that you're going to experience with a 19-year-old. He wasn't alone out there, but again, it's taken a village to see this team crumble a little bit, and just about all the villages is contributing to it.
We've mentioned it on the podcast a few times, how guys like Adam Boqvist and on the offensive side, Kirby Dock, are getting all this playing time because of some of the injuries that have hit the Blackhawks this year. So that's the one good thing, is Adam Boqvist gets to play the next day, more than likely, to shake off a bad game like that. You're right about Jeremy Colleton showing a sign that he hasn't shown much of this year. He did show it earlier this year, where he just seemed very pissed about the work ethic and was a little bit fed up and was seeming to call out the team. Today it was more he was explaining that he was upset, not so much showing it.
It was an exasperation to him.
yeah, exactly. It's a little "what else can I do" type thing. But then again, he goes on and says, "Well, we could be a little bit more prepared." So again, there's a lot of value to saying that. He says it makes you angry when the team doesn't come out with the effort level, and you'll hear very shortly Jonathan Toews mention that's one of the things, or at least the main thing that was missing today, was the effort level. So you'd expect to see more of this from Jeremy Colleton, but I don't know where I'm going with it, other than, you know, he has shown this sign before, but it was in a different light today. Let's not hide the fact that New York played a very good game today. That's something else that Colleton mentioned, how their skilled players are getting inside on the defense and really making it tough. You mentioned Robin Lehner bringing up the fact that not everyone had a great game, and there were so many quality chances because of New York's aggressive approach. I really thought for the first two periods, even if the Blackhawks had a shot on goal lead, New York's chances were just so much more quality. It wasn't until the Blackhawks' second power play unit came out on their first power play that they started actually generating some good opportunities. Meanwhile, New York, it seemed like everything they did was a very strong scoring effort. Their defense did a superb job of just giving the Blackhawks any sort of clear lane on their zone, and then once they brought it to the offensive zone, and this is something that Drake Caggiula mentioned, how the Blackhawks just spent way too much time in their defensive zone. And you got to give some credit to New York, because they made it very tough for them to get out of it.
Yeah, it was a good second period for the Blackhawks. They controlled most of that, but then at the end, you saw New York make a push in the final 2 or 3 minutes. Hawks able to escape that period with a 1-1 tie, get into the locker room, try and reset, but It was New York that flipped the switch, and that top line that has really been driving their good play lately, Kreider, Zibanejad, and Buchnevich, they came in with 20 goals and 36 points in their previous 11 games. They scored three times on Wednesday night, collected a total of 9 points, and that's a line that doesn't even have Artemi Panarin on it and Ryan Strom. And those two guys have been playing awfully well of late. And this goaltending situation for the Rangers is golden right now. They may have a headache on their hands with what they're going to do with Henrik Lundqvist, or whether they'll just keep him in a backup role. But we saw Igor Shesterkin for the first time tonight, and his numbers or his performance lives up to the numbers that he has put so far. How sustainable it is, I don't know, but the kid looks really sharp in that. So we mentioned the Rangers stars coming to play. And I don't think that the Blackhawks big guns necessarily played a quote-unquote bad game. You know, the Toews, Kubalik, and Caggiula line certainly generated some things. I really liked, for the most part, what Doc, DeBrincat, and Strome were doing. Patrick Kane and Carpenter and Saad Perry a little quieter now, although Saad had, what, 7 shots on goal. But you mentioned what Jonathan Toews was talking about in the locker room. We'll get to your slap shots questions, which kind of morphs us into trade deadline talk. After we hear from Jonathan Toews, here's the captain after the 6-3 loss on Wednesday.
Gave up a bunch of goals. easy goals.
What can you guys do at this point? Because the point totals are not coming your way.
I mean, to me, the story of the game tonight was just, you know, you're going to have games throughout the year where you don't have energy, where it's hard. You got to find the motivation and go out there and play your best game. It's a mental thing that you have to do. It's just the name of the game, playing NHL hockey. It's one of the challenging things that, you know, if you want to make a playoffs and you want to be a winning team, you're not going to feel your best every night. There's going to be tough travel, tough schedule, a lot of adversity, things that pile up in your way, and you got to find a way to overcome it. So we didn't do that tonight.
Given the stakes, how disconcerting is that the energy wasn't there?
It's very concerning. I think that game was there to be had, too. And a lot of opportunities, a lot of open ice. You know, again, there's moments where we're playing our game, where we have four lines rolling, guys are making good changes, getting pucks deep, making other teams play where they don't want to play, and then a lot of other, you know, other times where we just get away from that, and the turnovers are in the wrong areas, and our D-men forwards can do better jobs supporting each other. So, just little details like that.
What's the frustration level with the team right now?
It's at a healthy level, I hope so. You know, it's got to get frustrated, got to get, you know, angry, but you got to channel that the right way.
The struggles at home this year, has it been surprising?
Yeah, I mean, got to love to play in your own building the way we've been. It's not good enough, so, you know, we got to take advantage of the next one.
With this long road trip coming home, was that such a big factor when you look at the schedule that you guys dealt with this month?
Well, we've seen that before this year, where we have some tough road trips and we come home and have a letdown like we did tonight. So, got to be able to see that coming and respond better than we did.
What was going on in the third period that things sort of snowballed?
I don't really have an answer for you.
Slapshot questions. Tweet your questions to the guys at BodenTweets and at Joe_Brand1 for your questions to be read on the podcast.
Thank you, Ernie Scatton. Appreciate the fine introduction you always give us. And by the way, before we get to the Slapshots questions, and we're actually going to combine a couple that we had here because there's a lot of goalie talk going on with what we've been offered. But first of all, some great news. We passed along a couple of weeks ago how Ernie's wife had herself an emergency medical situation, and we asked for some good thoughts, some good vibes, and we are really pleased to report. Ernie and I have been texting back and forth, and he told me a couple days ago that she is making remarkable progress, better than they probably could have hoped right now. She has a go-home date here sometime soon. So if any of you were listening to the podcast and happen to give out some good energy and some good vibes, it's apparently working, because we're happy to report that Ernie's wife is doing much, much better. I'm so happy for him and his family. So those Slapshots questions, we're going to combine a couple. Mostly what we're getting is a lot of frustration. You know, everyone's just kind of, you know, flustered by now with the way the things have been going. And, you know, you have your snarky, snide tweets as well that we won't go there. But primarily, we have some goalie questions, like Bob asked, which goalie do you think is moving at the deadline? A guy who uses the name Alex Nylander on Twitter says, is it possible that the Hawks aren't offering Leonard the term that he wants? Of course, both goalies will become unrestricted free agents at the end of the season. Seems to be the hang-up as the season winds down. And there have been various reports right now that the Hawks have put out feelers to what Robin Leonard may be looking for, both in terms of term and in money. We went over some of the goaltending contract numbers a couple of podcasts ago when we played Robin's thoughts on him being wanted to be paid fairly. But this is kind of an interesting thing, because as this slump has continued and this team continues going in the direction it has been going, it's obvious what route that Stan is going to have to take between now and the Monday trade deadline. And what he is going to do, who he is going to potentially move, remains in question. And we talked about perhaps now with Colorado, with the Philip Grubauer injury. Maybe there's a need for goaltender there, perhaps with Carolina. But other than that, everyone else seems pretty well set among the playoff contenders at goalie. So you wonder, especially now with the Rangers situation, with having Lundqvist and Georgiev and Shesterkin, after signing J.F. Berube or acquiring him the other night, you know something's going to be up with them. So what he is able to do, what Stan Bowman is able to do with the goalies remains to be seen. And just based on Robin's play, this is as mentally strong a guy as you would think based on what he has gone through over the course of the last 2 years of his life. But even he mentioned in the postgame show, he's human. He knows what's going on here as the trade deadline approaches and knows a lot more about what's going on behind the scenes with his contract talks as well, good or bad. We don't know for sure. But he kind of opened things up a little bit to those reporters, saying in so many words, he's human. And you wonder if that's affecting him with some of the dip in his performance here lately.
It's tough to say what would be going on in Robin Leonard's head, especially a guy that's such a big advocate of mental health and the awareness of it, because this is a guy that, is just such an inquisitive person. And that's why I think when he's on a roll in the blue paint, he's able to just be so in control of his emotions and so in control of his thoughts because of the struggles he's had in the past with that. And that's such a great trait for a guy like that to have as a professional athlete. I would think if he were to be moved, you get that resurgence of being with a team in the hunt, and that's a boost in your confidence. And he goes back to being the Robin Leonard of the beginning of this year. But again, I don't think we're dealing with two different goalies in terms of Robin Leonard for the majority of this year and Robin Leonard for the past couple of games. You're right. I just think he's human. I just think he's just being a goalie in the NHL.
And he's on social media, so he knows what's floating out there, too.
Absolutely. And when it goes down to who is the one that's going to be moved, I mean, I mentioned a few podcasts ago that I think they should flaunt both out there just to see what they could get for both. Now, I don't think that'll happen, especially now with, like you said, the market kind of downsizing a little bit for goaltenders, but I still think it's worth it. And it's so interesting with who they would move, because it's going to play a big role in who would be their goaltender next year. I mean, we've talked about it, how really both guys, Robin Leonard and Corey Crawford, I still see a world where they come back to the Blackhawks next year if they are moved, because Corey Crawford has all his ties to being here, and I'm sure he wants to retire as a Blackhawk, and Robin Leonard seems to really enjoy his time here in Chicago, and I'm sure if he were to be moved, he still has a lot of faith in this roster for next year. So those are the reasons why I still think you can get one of them back by next season. But that's what's so interesting, is what they do in these next couple of days is going to play a role in who's going to be their goaltender next year.
And there's no question that as we head in the trade deadline here, and we'll go a little bit deeper into it, you know, guys who Stan is listening about. And I have no doubt Stan is listening to anything that may be coming about with either of these goaltenders or both of them. He has to at this point with the way the team is going. And I think ideally, in a perfect world, he'd like to bring Robin Leonard back as the younger guy. But he's going to cost more. It remains a greater commitment. And, you know, with the Colorado situation, Colorado has stuff they can offer. But whether they would offer the Blackhawks as much as a team outside their division, as opposed to a team outside their division, because, yeah, whoever, if the Blackhawks were to trade one of these goalies to Colorado, you're only concerned basically for the rest of the year in having to face him once again. But would Colorado give up some of their assets that they have? They have a ton of cap room. They have a ton of young talent in their system. Would they be willing to trade that to the Blackhawks, those players, or that capital to the Blackhawks for one run at the cup here with Leonard, with no guarantee of Leonard or Crawford, with no guarantee of getting them back? I don't think it's a short-term issue for the Blackhawks. If they wanted to make a deal with Colorado, I wonder whether the Avalanche would want to deal with the Blackhawks. I would see them being more interested in making a trade with the team we just saw here, the Rangers, rather than go within the division.
Well, and that's why the trade deadline is so sexy, because who is more desperate then? Are the Blackhawks?
We're bringing our sexy out at the Blackhawks Crazy podcast.
Yeah, Blackhawks Crazy after dark. Who's more desperate? Are the Blackhawks more desperate to get the move done, to get something out of a player that they won't have guaranteed for next year, or is the team fighting for a Stanley Cup more desperate to do whatever it takes possible to give them that final push? And, you know, with the way Robin Leonard and Corey Crawford have been playing this year, who's to say that that can't be the final moving factor?
So that ties into what else Stan may perhaps be doing, and who I'm of the opinion, yes, Erik Gustafsson's going to be a free agent. I don't see him having a future here beyond this season based on who is already under contract on the blue line, who's coming in the form of Ian Mitchell. And Stan is now in a situation with having to perhaps pay Dylan Strome, who we'll hear from here in just a moment, although Strome's contract is probably shrinking with his recent play here. I'll come out and say that. But now he has to pay Dominik Kubalík. So I would think he's out there listening to offers for Erik Gustafsson. I think he would listen to offers, in my opinion, for Olli Maatta, who's really played much better here of late, has a couple Stanley Cups under his belt, but is under contract at $4 million per year. But I still think that there are playoff teams out there willing to take that gamble if they're willing to offer Stan enough, and this would help Stan as well in the offseason, kind of recoup some salary cap space. Same thing potentially for Zach Smith, a guy who's under contract for $3 million next season. And, you know, you can slot guys in to replace him, not his experience necessarily, but, you know, other guys in order to make room for a salary cap. So Gustafsson, Maatta, Smith, I think those are the guys, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to go off the board and trade Brandon Saad unless Stan gets his socks knocked off. But those are the ones really interesting. And when you take a look, I'm wondering what's going to be left come Monday with the way the trade market has already been going over the past 4 or 5 days. But Andy Green was moved from New Jersey to the Islanders. What does New Jersey get back? A number 2 pick in 2021. That's for a veteran defenseman. Alec Martinez was just moved from L.A. to Vegas in exchange for 20 and 21 number 2 picks. Marco Scandella, after Jay Boumeister's health scare, St. Louis looking to shore up their blue line. For Marco Scandella, they gave up a number 2 pick in this upcoming draft in 2020. Brendan Dillon goes from San Jose to Washington for a number 2 pick in 2020. And Dylan DeMello goes to Winnipeg from Ottawa for a number 3 pick in 2020. So I would think Stan's shopping around. If it's a Gustafsson, if it's a Maatta, not necessarily Zach Smith, but defensemen are so crucial for these playoff and Stanley Cup contenders to want to safeguard against injury. I think that's the market. Stan's going to be looking for number twos for Erik Gustafsson and Olli Maatta, and if he is going to move them, hopefully that's the minimum of what he gets back here.
Yeah, so again, just to clarify, all those names you just mentioned, the worst payout was a third-round pick by next year. And don't forget, the biggest claim to fame for Erik Gustafsson was what he was able to do offensively last year. This year, Gustafsson has more goals and more assists than all those players you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So even with the drop-off of this year, he's still a more offensive force than those defensemen that have been moved over the past few days. So clearly, that works out in the Blackhawks' favor. I agree with you with Olli Maatta. I thought he had a pretty good game today, too.
Yeah, I think him and that third pairing with Slater Cuckoo has been pretty good. But that's what you would like out of a third pairing. Have they been perfect? No, but they're the typical third pairing. But should you have a $4 million defenseman on a third pairing when you already have Brent Seabrook on the books and whatnot? He's going to be back next year. So I think that's where the urgency starts for Stan in trying to clear some of this off the books.
Yeah, and actually urgency was what I liked out of Olli Maatta's game today. I thought there was a play who was at the blue line, just got aggressive. New York was coming the one way, and that's what the Hawks have been lacking, is just that little spurts of aggression. So the way you look at it, you got to like the Blackhawks' chances heading into this trade deadline of getting good returns. It's just a matter of how they work it, how desperate the other teams are and how close they come down to the line of the actual trade deadline of what happens.
It's just so comical as each of these defensemen are traded, and you see what the trading team gets in return in the form of these picks. And all these, come on, Stan, what are you waiting for? Granted, a lot of movement has happened here, but there's still going to be a lot of urgency by a lot of teams between now and Monday. I have to think it's going to happen as we continue to see more and more with each passing game what Stan is going to be forced to do here at the trade deadline. And we mentioned a moment ago that one of the guys that he has to try and make space for, you would think, is Dylan Strome. Restricted free agent this offseason. And I had a chance to sit down with Dylan, and it's been a bit of a bumpy ride since coming back from his high ankle sprain, which happened just before the bye week. He didn't miss as many games as people would have thought, courtesy of that bye week, but himself, this entire team, hasn't quite been the same since that injury, since that bye week. Plus, Dylan's been dealing with a move to wing, which he has never really played before. So I had a chance to sit down and talk with him ahead of falling to 0-5 all time against his big brother Ryan here in the NHL. And we talked a little bit about the effects of the ankle sprain, his season as it was going prior to that injury, his move to wing, and the bye week's effect on the team performance as well. Plus, I talked a little bit about his little brother, Matthew, who a lot of people think may become the best Strome of all at the time he was drafted in the fourth round a couple of years ago against Philadelphia. Well, he has had a bit of a bumpy ride himself, just like his older brothers. Starting out in the AHL this season, then he was sent down to the ECHL by the Philadelphia Flyers. So these Strome brothers have driven the roller coaster here in their respective professional hockey careers. But I began the conversation with Dylan about the video session that he had with the coaches last week when he was a healthy scratch in terms of getting his game back in order. You haven't seen it from a production standpoint, but I think he's been better the last couple of games. Hopefully he can get back to the production level he had been. Here's Dylan talking about his healthy scratch and what he learned from it last week.
No, obviously you never want to get scratched as a player. You never want to be out of the lineup, and you want to help the team win. So, first time being scratched in Chicago, and obviously I wasn't expecting it. Didn't expect it, but I wasn't playing great. And a few games after an injury, minutes were down, and wasn't creating a lot. So, I just found a way to just talk to coach and fix some things and work on it and create some more turnovers and watched a bunch of shifts. So I think it was good. I think it was all positive. And he expects me to be a big part of this team and to help the team win. So that's what I got to do.
So the emphasis was on being a little bit more aggressive, using your body a little bit more.
Yeah, just no flybys on guys. Just when you're close to a guy, get the stick in there against the stick and make it tough for guys to make plays. You don't want to be a guy that's getting made plays through all the time. And when you just you're kind of curling and the guy just passes it right through, you're kind of just useless. So get in there, get your stick right on his stick, and just try to create some turnovers. If you can do it, one or two more times a game, it's probably one or two more chances a game. So find a way to do that. That play happens probably 25 times in a game. So like I said, if you can do it one or two more times, help create a turnover for your teammate or just a chance for them less against.
You're just like everybody else in here. You don't want to use anything as an excuse. But with that injury, it's probably something you never get totally over with until the summer. And, how much has it affected you as much as you're willing to admit?
Yeah, I mean, it's... the first couple games I definitely felt it for sure, but the last four or five I haven't, so you can't use that as an excuse. I feel good. I feel like I'm like when I'm on the ice I feel 100%. So I took the tape off after I think three games, and then after that it's been feeling pretty good. So it's different. I mean, I think it's just more the time, missing a month of hockey, and we have an all-star break, and then coming back right after, I think obviously I wanted to play. I was sick and tired of sitting out, so try to do whatever I could to play, and then the team was playing well, so I wanted to get back in there and then help the team win. And unfortunately we've had a little bit of a slide, but we just got to find a way to get back on track. So I feel good. I feel like I can give more and hopefully I can start producing again.
How had you been feeling about your game before that unfortunate injury?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I think I had like 4 goals in 5 games or something, and was feeling good. I'm creating a lot. Started playing on the wing with Docker and Cat, and was feeling good, and then come back, lines change and stuff like that, and got to adjust. So obviously Kempf and Cat and I didn't work well together, and for whatever reason, just didn't click. But switch up the lines now, and feeling pretty good and creating a lot more chances the past couple of games. So obviously that's encouraging. I think when you're still getting chances and they're just not going in, I think they'll eventually go in. But you got to be worried with your game when you're not getting chances. And for a few games there, I feel like I wasn't. And that's on me, and that's on myself to find a way to produce. I think I've done that ever since I've been here, so got to continue to do that.
Since moving over to wing here for the first time pretty much in your career, where do you think you've made the biggest strides? Where did you need to make the biggest strides, and what's still there to work on?
I think just getting pucks out of your zone, when our D rim it, I think it's a tough job. I mean, it's like a winger trying to take faceoffs. It's like their job to do to get the pucks out on the wall, and there's pretty good defensemen in this league that come down and pinch pretty hard, so got to find a way to get it past your D and hit Docker with speed up the middle. So been working on that. I think we're still getting comfortable with each other, but I think we're getting there. And I know as a centerman, you want to be ahead of that D, and you want to be able to rely on your winger to chip it past them so you can get a 2-on-1 and you can go. So I know last year we did that a lot, where we just rimmed it around, and Cahoon or Cat or Kane or whoever it was really good at chipping off the wall to me with speed through the middle. So got to find a way to do that, and hopefully me and Docker can continue on that.
Yeah, I mean, you talk individual about that break there, but with the way the team was playing prior to the All-Star break in the bye week, do you think that hurt the team a little bit from that standpoint in terms of rhythm and structure and the way you guys had been playing prior?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think a little bit, but every team has to go through the same thing, so there's really no excuse. We found a way to get a win in Arizona there the first game back, and then kind of went downhill from there after, but still got some points. Still managed to get a point against Boston, and arguably probably should have won that game with that blown call, but that happens in hockey sometimes. People might say that they blew a call when we were in Boston, and we got the overtime winner, so stuff happens. And like I said, I think we had a few tough games there on the road trip, but my coach said today, the past couple games we've been playing pretty well, and I think if we have that effort most nights, it's going to be good for us.
How well have you been able to compartmentalize and not take your future, your contract situation out on the ice? Have you been able to discipline yourself and not let that creep into your mind?
Yeah, try to do as best as you can. Obviously, it's getting close now, so looking forward to seeing what happens. Obviously, I want to stay in Chicago, and I love playing here. So obviously, it's a lot of fun to be a Blackhawk, and I think we'll just let, obviously, nothing I can really do about that besides play well and produce and help the team win. I think when the team wins, everyone looks pretty good and they want to keep everyone. So it's obviously we'll see what happens, but getting down to the wire here. So hopefully something gets done and can kind of put it behind me. But not really thinking about it too much.
Everyone's talking about Ryan being in town, but little brother's been on a little bit of a yo-yo too here in terms of him being sent down a little bit. How's he getting himself through things?
Yeah, it's first year pro, so he's just kind of finding his way. I think he was happy to get the housing letter in the AHL and get kind of comfortable, set in there, and then 3 or 4 weeks into the season, he got sent down to the East Coast Hockey League, and he's played a bunch of games there. He's been up and down a few times, but I think he's playing pretty well there. So getting a few goals, a few points, and I think he'll be obviously a full-time AHL next year and maybe get a sniff, and we'll see what happens. He's a good player. He's a hard worker. He works hard and takes care of himself, and he's manages his body well, and I think he's a professional professional hockey player. So it's encouraging to see. He follows myself and my brother and my older brother, and he enjoys it. He wants to be a hockey player just like we are.
You mentioned before it's kind of a brotherly support system for all three of you too, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've all gone through it. Last year, my little brother was having great success in junior. I think he had 80 points last year, and 35 goals or something. So, and Ryan and I started off, obviously not great in Arizona and Edmonton, and we both got traded and kind of picked it up, and we all kind of finished off strong last year. So that was obviously a positive. And then, this year, Ryan's been playing great. Matt kind of struggled a little bit, and we've been trying to help him out, and. So everyone goes through. He got a concussion too, so we're all going through kind of the same thing. There's injuries and stuff happens, and lines change and you get sent down or you get scratched or something like that. So we all try to help each other out. Obviously Ryan's a great role model, and I think it starts with our parents. So our parents are behind us all the way, and they're going to tell us how it is. I should refrain. My dad will tell us how it is. My mom's very positive all the time, so you know, obviously my dad has a great mind for the game, and you know, usually what he says, the coach here follows up with that. So, he's a pretty smart guy, and obviously value his opinion a lot.
Nice having a few minutes with Dylan Strome earlier this week, and after Wednesday night's game, popped out of my bunker here into the corridor where both teams' locker rooms are. Had a chance to just see him and Ryan gathered around mom, Trish, who, by virtue of getting her second mom's trip of the season, this being from the Rangers, being forced to wear a Rangers jersey, claims she wore a Blackhawks jersey, Blackhawks t-shirt underneath, but yeah, she was denied the opportunity to wear a Blackhawks jersey with all the other traveling Rangers moms there, and indeed, Ryan ends up having the bragging rights, and Dylan was stuck with the bill when the two boys went out with mom on Tuesday night prior to the game. But as we close out here, Joe, if all is lost, and if this team will now take the tact of being a seller and kind of resigning itself to the fact where let's get as many assets as we can here for the future, let's ride the rest of the season out. If we get to that point here after Monday's deadline, the interesting storylines to watch, no matter who's left here or whoever's going to play goal or whatever, is going to be, how does Dylan Strome finish off this season? Can you build momentum for next year? How does Alex DeBrincat do the same? Can you get more out of Alex Nylander, who has had a very long leash and big body of work to acclimate himself to the NHL, whether people are pleased with it or not? How they finish up this last push, if indeed the Blackhawks are going to be denied the playoffs once again for a third consecutive spring, they're going to have to find some momentum and grow their game here to kind of build some hope here moving forward.
I think you just got to let it ride, let them play. And more importantly, I still like that line the best with DeBrincat, Strome, and Kirby Dach. And you've got a young 19-year-old that can still learn from a couple of young studs that, you know, came into the league with so much promise. Each had different paths, but each have also hit some pretty high-performing years. So I think that's a good way to mold a Kirby Dach, and for Alex DeBrincat, just have that sensibility that I'm going to be playing every day and I'm going to have the ability to work out of this funk. And let's not forget, the second power play unit with those guys looked great today. So hopefully that's something positive to look moving forward. But yeah, for the most part, just let it ride and let those guys try to break out of their funk, and hopefully good stuff will come out of it.
Yeah, and in the end, yeah, It is real disappointing. You know, our next podcast will come Monday afternoon once the trade deadline has passed. Once we hear from Stan Bowman, we will bring that to you. That's going to be our next podcast. We will have all the answers. We won't have to speculate anymore in terms of who's on this team and who isn't and what Stan was able to do at the deadline. We'll have those answers on our next podcast. But in the end, the way this has trended, that last road trip, this next one coming up after Nashville, when we have our next podcast, it's going to be between the Sunday afternoon game in Dallas and then going back to St. Louis to take on the Blues before going to take on, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then a Florida team that's suddenly on the ropes after the last time the Blackhawks were seen. It's just disappointing that the team has not been able to put it all together here for a third consecutive year after that tease right before the bye week when it seemed like they were putting it together. We had this tease last year. They fell short, and it seems like the falling short is happening a lot sooner. And as disappointed as all the fans seem to be, you know, it's disappointing for us too, because, being around these guys, you'd like to see them do well. But, you know, I think that the picture is becoming clearer and clearer over the course of the last two or three weeks.
Well, of course, it's disappointing, but in the long run, it's bad business. I mean, when the Hawks are good, it makes our job more enjoyable. More people are inclined to tune into the game and hear about the team on a daily basis. And, you know, now we're getting into a month of March. How many home games are there?
Too many.
11, 12, 13, something like that. So, boy, we're going to be going into that locker room a lot, and hopefully there will be some things to talk about in a positive setting. But, it's the way sports go, unfortunately. But, hopefully nothing but good times ahead.
And I guess the biggest thing is the disappointment over this particular podcast is what Jeremy and Jonathan had to talk about afterwards with, you know, not being ready. That shouldn't be a factor at this point of the season with what was at stake. And it's just happened all too often. And if that ends up costing them a playoff berth for the third straight year, I don't think you're going to see the same structure here. I think the impatience, you hear Jeremy's impatience. There's a lot more impatience in other places in this building as well if they should fall short once again. We want to thank you for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast presented by FanList. Thank you to them for being the presenting sponsor. Again, we encourage you to subscribe on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Leave a review when you subscribe. The podcast will be sitting there waiting for you. Otherwise, you can find it when Joe and I tweet it out. I'm at Bowden Tweets. Joe is at Joe underscore brand one. And you can, as always, find it on WGNradio.com as well. Thanks to Curtis Koch, our producer, for putting this all together, and to Ernie as well. Ernie, great to hear about how the wife is doing. We hope some of the vibes along here helped along the way to turn the corner as far as your wife is concerned. Again, for Joe, for Curtis, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you on Monday afternoon with reaction and hearing from Stan Bowman following the NHL trade deadline.
How about that?
They've won it. The Hawks win the Stanley Cup.
Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, and join the conversation. And follow the guys on Twitter, @BowdenTweets and @Joe_Brand1.
That was great.